It's Thursday, April 20th, 2017, and if you are coming off a high, you've reached a new low. The painful reality that the Sharks have done something that they've done in the past and have always come back to haunt them, and it hits them one more time. The Sharks lose a heartbreaker, 4-3 in overtime. They now trail 3-2 going into Saturday's pivotal game 6. We'll talk about game 5 at first, but this is Pucknology. Oh, well, there's a fine for me. This is Teal Town After Dark. We are your interactive Sharks post game. We do this after every post game. So by all means, please hit the subscribe button down below or to the side. For more news and opinions, hit tealtownusa.com. And by all means, please follow our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course, the YouTube channel. Of course, this is an interactive show, so we want you to be a part of it. Join us in the YouTube chat, on the page, or on the app, wherever you're watching us tonight. On Twitter, please use the hashtag TealTownUSA. And you can also follow us on Twitter at the names below. Joining us, and of course, you can't talk about Teal Town without looking at that beautiful Teal Town USA shirt, available now at bringhockeyback.net. With that, hello everyone. Oh, shoot. Joining us tonight, Eric Landy.
Hi guys. Yeah, I've got a headache. Wasn't from this game, but this game could have given you a headache.
And also joining us back from the viewing party is AJ Strong. You're muted, AJ.
What a great way to ruin a party.
Yeah. Yep. Blew a lead. I mean, let's go back a decade where they blew a lead, or whenever. I mean, it's one of those that's so Sharks moments that we've unfortunately known to grow and unfortunately deal with. It started out very rough. Edmonton was all over the Sharks early on, and they jump on the board early thanks to Patrick Maroon from Benning at 5:28 in the first, made it 1-0. It's like, okay, here they're coming in waves, they're dominating the play no matter what. And then, you know, all of a sudden, just a nice sweet passing play with Sorensen, Tierney to Bodker. Bodker gets his first goal of the playoffs on a sweet finish. At 10-12, all of a sudden you start seeing the momentum shifting, building calm down a little bit. And then the Sharks catch them on a bad change. Thornton to Marlowe, also assisting with Rockets boy Dylan. 15:52 in the first. The Sharks had all the momentum going for them at that time. They had the building knocked out and silent. It was 2-1 after one. Landy, what did you take from the first period? Because it seemed like it was a big old wave of
definitely seesaw. You know, I thought the Thornton line looked really good today. Besides, you know, in the overtime in the third, but just speaking from the first, I thought that they held their own really well against Draisaitl and McDavid. And you had Vlasic and Bond pretty much nailed to them. But I mean, you know, I think they executed their game plan well. They kept Edmonton's guys in check. It was nice to see Mikael Bodker get a goal and really drive the net. You know, that's kind of what we were thinking we were going to get when we signed him, you know, and that's the kind of play that you want to see him, you know, do. As far as Patrick Marleau goes, I mean, it was just, you know, that was, those were crafty veterans. You know, they were, they really just got the puck. I don't know what the hell the Oiler defenseman was doing changing there. He changes inexplicably and creates a 2-on-1, and Thornton just, you know, passes it over and basically just slides it through the wickets. And you had Patty following it up, who just, you know, pushed it across the goal line. So it was a good play, good setup. It was kind of something from nothing. And really, I mean, you know, the Sharks were lucky to get out of the first with the lead, because I thought that first 10 minutes was all Oilers. But they definitely settled their game down quite a bit.
AJ, what did you take from the first?
Excuse me while I drop this. First, I thought was good. Like, they give up that first one. It's a little tight. But they were able to fight back, throw up two, and get everybody going and everybody excited, it felt like. I mean, you know, those two goals that the Sharks score were within 5 minutes of each other in the first period. So it was kind of like, oh, they got up on us, and okay, we answered, and we've now taken the lead. Okay, a little more confidence. We can do this. We got this. First period, you know, in the Sharks' favor, shots on goal, 16-13, somewhat even, but the Sharks, it just felt good because as the first progressed, it was kind of, they weathered that opening storm from the fans and from the Oilers, and they seemed to get better as the first went on. And that's all I have to say about the first period.
Yeah, they started off, you know, poor, and then they changed the momentum on that sweep passing play goal, and seemed to carry the momentum, and then kept getting at it more and more in the second period. And then David Schlemko, you know, and again, his second goal of the playoffs from Bodker and Ward. Bodker with 2 points tonight, at 8:38, 3-1. The Sharks were looking really good, playing strong, playing fast. But then they started getting into penalty trouble, and sure enough, Mark Letestu gets his first of the playoffs from Leon Draisaitl. I'm sure he's in so much pain after losing $2,600. And McDavid, so McDavid's third point of the series makes it 3-2, and all of a sudden Edmonton's starting to have that wave. What did you guys think, AJ?
I'm sorry, I was looking at something. What's the question?
It just seemed the Sharks looked like they had all the momentum in the second, and then they started getting sloppy into preventive mode, and then
they had momentum. I think they carried over some momentum from the first period for getting those two goals and getting the lead. I think they had the momentum for the first half of the second period, and then it all kind of slowly withered away. And then you have back-to-back penalties towards the end of the second. And then, of course, Letestu scores on the power play. Jesus Christ, let's put this away so it doesn't drop anymore. But Letestu gets it with 90 seconds left in the second. You know, he always hate those ones that are in the first 90 or the last 90. And the Sharks gave up one. And, you know, I think it made everybody kind of clench the butt cheeks a little bit, but it was, hey, still got a 3-2 lead because, you know, Schlemko nodded one halfway through. And you just hoped that the Sharks were not going to go into prevent mode, but instead they were going to be like, you know, let's get that extra one. Let's get it back. And unfortunately, third period was a bit of a different story. That second period, you look at the stats, shots on goal, 13 for Edmonton, 5 for the Sharks. So they didn't get a lot of looks, and it's one or two people talking about, the Sharks have a good chance to score here, and I'm going, what are you looking at? Because you can't score when you don't have possession, and there wasn't a lot of possession, but they made the most of what they had in the second.
Landy.
I just think after that third goal, they just sat back. They're like, okay, you know, we've got three goals, right? We don't need to score anymore. You know, we can just hang on, hang on, hang on. And that got them into penalty trouble. I mean, they really went into prevent mode the latter half of the second period. And they were like, okay, you know, we can't fuck up a two-goal lead. And lo and behold, they fuck up a two-goal lead. So, you know, we've seen this story over and over and over again. The thing was, the prevent defense looked really good up until
overtime.
No. I was just going to say 18 minutes of the second period. You know, they were clogging up the neutral zone. They were just making it mucky and grimy, and Edmonton could not push the play through. And then finally, what kind of just, you know, made the mountain out of the molehill, so to speak, was that penalty. You got the Oilers got the momentum on their side. They were able to kind of push that through into the third period. I mean, the Sharks came really close to just being able to drag it out and really just, you know, win the game doing what they did. But you could just tell by the end of that third period, they were gassed. They were done. And they didn't. They looked like they did not want to be playing in overtime, you know. And it showed. It showed in their game.
Yeah, and to, you know, quickly finish the thought for you guys in the third period. Sure enough, Oscar Klefbom kind of finishes what the Oilers started that whole period. I mean, they were on the Sharks all over from the third period on, and just would not be stopped, and they kept going and going and going, and sure enough, 2:46 left in the third, they finally break, and it's his second of the playoffs to tie the game. We go into overtime. Guys, I know we lost this game, but can we just give some love to Martin Jones right now? My God, he saved their ass in overtime.
He saved their ass. He saved their ass that this game wasn't won by Edmonton in regulation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just the amount of the amount of volume. I mean, they had fucking 48 shots on goal
to the Sharks 30.
To the Sharks 30. I mean, 48 shots on goal. And what does Martin Jones do? I mean, he posts a 9-17, but man, some of those were worth two saves. I mean, that save on Connor McDavid was just insane. You know, he had some point blanks that he just robbed.
And AO on the chat saying, I blame Jones for losing this game. He should have scored a goal too.
Well, the only one that I will say was really bad was the power play goal that he let in, where it was Pavelski who blocked his view,
yep,
but he was not in position. He was not in set good position. So I blame him for that goal. And yeah, I mean,
I wasn't happy about that one, but
you can play coulda, shoulda, woulda, but the Sharks shouldn't have taken that penalty. I mean, it was a fucking delay of game penalty because Burns just couldn't keep the puck on the ice. He had to.
Yeah, there was a couple of sketchy penalties for what they called. I mean, like the Dillon call, I thought was like one of the weakest trip calls I've seen ever in a playoff game.
And I mean, and for that one too, it's like, well, where the hell was he supposed to go? He was right up against the goal. So I didn't understand that one. I didn't like Timo Meier's phantom holding call. But
and when you look at that in contrast to some of the shit that they let go, you're just kind of like, really? That just let him skate, like, because you've let a ton of shit go in the first half of this game, and then you're gonna come out with that.
Yeah, no, the officiating game to game has been horrible. I think even Edmonton fans can agree with us that it's just not consistent. And you know what? If at the start of the series, if you're going to call everything, call everything. I want the same precedent in game one as it is in game seven. If you're going to be going to this precedent where it's like, okay, pretty even for both sides, okay, then I want that game one. I want that game two. I want that game three. you know, so on and so forth.
But to me, I kind of thought that it was a little foot trip that Maroon got in early in the second period, and it was the same thing with Dylan. Now, I completely agree with you guys. The whole ups and downs of the officiating is ridiculous. And of course, you know, Edmonton's taken a boatload of penalties, but I had a feeling that at 3-1 the Sharks better, you know, stay disciplined because they're going to look for stuff. So you got to be careful with that. That being said,
Yeah. Well, whatever. You know what? I mean, penalties are penalties. They only had three. I mean, only had three power plays.
The Sharks only had one power play tonight. Very shocked by that.
Okay. I mean, even still, I mean, the PK, you know, you hold a team to three power plays and you have a top, you know, 10 PK. That.
No, I get what you're saying. But when you look at the first four games where Edmonton clearly was the team that was taking all the liberties and getting a hell of a lot more calls, and, you know, give it up to Edmonton, because up until game four, the Sharks had proven that they didn't know how to score on a power play. So Edmonton could play not even on the edge, way over the edge, and take the egregious calls. Who cares? Now, granted, that said, you know, the Draisaitl hit notwithstanding. Either way, you know, tonight, give it up to the Oilers. They played a for the most part, a disciplined game. But as I said, definitely some shit that was let go tonight. And when you look at that compared to what was called, you just kind of go, geez, you know, a little bit more consistency would be nice, but, you know, this is a topic we've been talking about for 20 years. It's never going to change, and so it's really not worth harping on. So you just go back to the fact of the matter that once it went to OT, the Sharks, you know, how long did OT last? You know, like 15, 16 minutes, and it felt like the Sharks had the puck in their possession for about 25 seconds.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's about right. I mean, you know, I think I think for me, I'm just really disappointed at the Sharks' mental mistakes. I think both of those, I mean, all three of those goals, I mean, the second goal, mental mistake by Jones, mental mistake by Brent Burns for doing ollie oops all the time. The game tying goal, you know, that one shouldn't, you know, Oscar Klefbom shouldn't be left that wide open. You know, Thornton has to make sure that he picks up his man on the blue line. He did not, so he was out of position to make a block. And then David Desharnais, I mean, you just, again, a blown coverage. And it's just really upsetting to see those kind of mistakes at this time of the year from this team, who is supposed to be shut down defense. You know, that's the where their game starts, and it was three, four silly mistakes that compound on each other, and this is what happens. So, Rob Iman in the chat, do you want to switch Donskoy for Meyer, or do we want to switch anybody in, somebody for Hansen? Timo Meier has played a great game.
He's had a good series.
Yeah, I don't see why you would switch him out. You know, I think Bodker looked good tonight. I mean, I think the guy that I...
Yeah, but Bodker seems to look good always after he's scratched for a game or two.
Well, I mean, whatever you got to do.
So I guess you got to scratch him for the next game so he'll look good in game seven. I don't know.
I mean, the guy that I thought tonight looked a little outclassed was Sorensen. I mean, during the first part of the game, he looked good. Second part, I think he really kind of hit that wall and kind of really fell off. Just kind of going through here.
The guy that I wasn't that thrilled with tonight, and I'm a huge fan, was Hurdle.
No, really? I thought Hurdle had a really good game.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I thought there was some moments tonight in the game where he could have been a little stronger, could have played tougher, and, you know, seemed to not take the extra step.
Yeah, I mean, So you had Hurdle, you had Timo and Carlson. I mean, the thing is, I mean, that line was generating chances. They just could not finish. And the
And
same with the fourth.
give it up for the Sharks social media department. Those poor guys, every time they tweet out a graphic of what the what the probable lines are going to be, it's never anywhere close to what they end up being. Those poor guys.
PDB saying in his post-game press conference, and thank you, Jessica, for putting it on here. Couldn't reestablish any offense. In I'm sorry, if prevent defense isn't going to
Prevents
win
you from
game.
winning the game.
Now, did now now the question would be, was that coming from Peter DeBoer, or is that the
No.
Sharks doing that?
That's the Sharks doing that. That's the Sharks trying to sit on a lead that it's like up 3-1. Okay, feel good. We got, oh, wait a minute. Okay, it's 3-2. Well, you know what? Let's just burn through these 20 minutes and we'll be okay. And you know what? They were able to burn through 17 minutes of them, and then it all went down the crapper. And instead
Just
of putting their foot on the gas, there you go.
Chester Chivo in a chat with the telltale sign of all of what we're thinking of. Not sure what I'm more upset, the fact that we are down 3-2 or down 3-2 with Schlemko having more goals than McDavid.
Schlemko having more goals than Bodker.
Les Ergang, can you guys do one thing and give credit to where it is due? You know what? That being said, you know, David Desharnais was all over the ice tonight, and this is a guy that was in Todd McClellan's doghouse.
Dejanay. I want to put it on my sandwich. I need more Dejanay.
And so, you know, I thought that he had a really good game. I mean, Draisaitl, for as much as a douchebag as his slash was, had a really good game tonight. I mean, he had a really good bounce back kind of game.
You know what I think is kind of the elephant in the room is after 5 games, like Lucic, we haven't heard like Lucic really at all. Like hasn't gotten on the score sheet really, and hasn't like gone uber douche. Like he's been pretty silent over 5 games, and I think that's pretty fucking shocking, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree. And you know, I guess for him, I think he's kind of getting it through his head that he can't be a, you know, he can't go total banana sandwich because he's going to put his team down. I mean, it's going to give them real problems. So
Yeah, well, history, you know, because if he would have gotten caught spearing Tierney, it would have been 1 game minimum.
right. Well, like he has a history.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a history.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know what? I mean, look, they pumped 48 shots on goal. That's no fluke. I mean, that's just a
No, it isn't.
massive volume.
It was not good defense tonight, man. They coughed up a shit ton of chance, and that was just shots on goal. At one point, Kurz put out like scoring chances. It was something retarded, like 99 to like 31 or something.
It was
Yeah, no,
like
it 108 to 56, if I
yeah. I
yeah,
mean,
it
how do you expect to win if you're going to do that? You know what I mean? You're going to give up that much? It's you know, the fact that they got the when you look at those stats, the fact that the Sharks at one point had a 3-1 lead is kind of exceptional.
right. Well, no, I mean, because Jones was really saving their bacon. I mean, you know, like I said, through that first 10 minutes of the first period, man, they were shell shocked. You know, this looked like had game two or game three written all over it. And then the Sharks kind of waded in, and then they kind of got some saves, and then they're like, okay, yeah, we can skate again. And, you know, then they were really opportunistic. Had they won tonight, I would have said they didn't deserve to win that game. I mean, the team that played better won the game.
Yeah.
It's just that simple.
Absolutely. I mean, as much as we're complaining about the Sharks, you got to give credit to Edmonton. They came out early. They hung through the middle part where the Sharks had a 3-1 lead, saw that the Sharks were pulling back, took advantage of it, used their speed to their advantage, and outworked the Sharks, outworked them. You know, I hate to say it, but would you call it a choke job for tonight's game?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a choke job because they had no business leading this game. You know, I think that the team got really lucky. I don't think Cam Talbot played all that great. You know, he was good enough to win, definitely. But I just think that that was a classic horse race, you know, and the team that had the fresher, younger horse won. And that's the way it should have been. I mean, to be quite honest, I mean, the Sharks were on their heels for most of that game. So I don't call it a choke job. But now that if the Sharks have any aspirations or any desires of wanting to push this to game seven, they have to hold serve on at home. And go ahead, Eric.
I was going to say the painful part is you've played this game in overtime. You got to come back for game six Saturday night. And then if the Sharks win, you got to go back to Edmonton just so you can fly down to Anaheim if you're able to get to the second round.
Right. I mean, and everybody's like, oh, well, you know, they had a two goal lead, choke job. Guys, I mean, we should not have been up, guys and gals, sorry, but we should not have been up by two goals. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I think AJ wants to plug the subscribe button.
Yeah, just sorry to cut you off, Lanny. Brody and Curtis just went off the air. So we welcome those of you who have been watching their coverage. This is Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every game, so please hit the subscribe button down below. I think we've already had a couple people do that already, so thank you very much. Over 515 subscribers. Amazing, and we appreciate it immensely. Also, if you want to check out one of the fancy Teal Town USA shirts, they are available at brainhockeybacket.net, and you can pick up your Teal Town swag there. With that, back to you, Landy.
Yeah, I mean, look, everybody just keeps saying, oh, you had a lead. Just track the shots on... Actually, no. Track the scoring chances through two periods when the Sharks had their two-goal lead. And that will tell you everything. The grade A scoring chances were 2-1 in favor of Edmonton. It should not have been there. And
it was more than that.
And literally, this was a Martin Jones performance. That's why the Sharks had any sniff of winning this game. And so, you know, that's kind of what it boils down to. I just, for those of us who are thinking, oh, you know, this is, you know, the typical Sharks, this is them blowing their leads. And no, I don't think so. I think this is a team that's gasping for air right now because they can't hang with the younger, tougher fighter at this point. It's like my mom had a really good analogy. She's like, man, this is like a boxing match. And this is like the old stud, you know, going into the 13th round, just trying to hang on for dear life against the new up and comer. And that's what it felt like. You know, the Oilers kept jabbing, and finally were able to uppercut and just...
It's just so bizarre to see that 48 hours ago, the Sharks brought... Well, I guess if you just look at it like these games where it was like game two... One of the worst performances ever by a Sharks team. 0-for-6 on the power play while giving up two shorthanded goals. Then a couple days later, one of the most dominant performances by the Sharks in franchise history, putting up 7-0. And let's be honest, I mean, we're giving Edmonton their due, but let's be honest, that score could have been 10-0. Like, that was insane. And then they follow it up 48 hours with one of like their worst possession games ever. It just goes to show you how just fucking bizarre and bipolar this team can be sometimes, because as Landy said earlier, for the most part, like this, the Sharks really had no business having the lead tonight.
No. And the thing about that game, I think, is what we saw was that Edmonton was content to have the split on away ice. and you knew that the Sharks were going to come out with the best that they had. So when the Sharks went up 2-0, I mean, literally, they kind of broke the spirit of Edmonton in that game. And, you know, if you can get, you know, a three-goal lead on this team, I think you will see them start to grip again. So had the Sharks gone up 4-1 tonight, you wouldn't have seen it, that lead been blown, I don't think, because they would have been really demoralized. But when it's 3-1 and it's 3-1 with a lot of scoring chances in Edmonton's favor, they still have confidence. They still like, okay, we're not the Edmonton Oilers of old, but man, you get a 2-3 lead on this team, that team folds so quickly. Because they just go back to, oh my God, this 10 years of futility.
Yeah.
I like Don Julio in the chat. What did he say to me? The fans had a lot to do with things on Tuesday. It was loud as hell. Really? Do you really think that's the reason why it was 7-0? Dude, I've been there where the next day I couldn't hear. I've been there for loud games. It has nothing to do with what the – I've been there for deafening games that the Sharks lost 1-0.
Oh, I mean, I just remember – that that Game 7 when the Sharks blew the 3-0 lead to Detroit, that Game 7 atmosphere was the loudest I've ever heard the tank.
Well, see, and to me, I don't think I've ever heard anything louder than Smitty, Hannon, and McLaren killing off – the 5-on-3.
Yep. That was that one. I mean, Tuesday night with me and Rocket were at the game. I mean, it was insane. It was absolutely insane. And of course, it always, when you start off very well 15 seconds in and you just keep going and going and going, you know, it's great. Now,
yeah, if you spot the home team a goal at the beginning of the game, yeah, probably going to start pretty well.
You know what? It's funny. Just people are saying Rogers Place is better than the Shark Tank. I mean, look,
Rogers. It is, dude. Have you seen it? But the thing is, what's the difference? Like 26, 27, 28 years?
But not even that. I mean, just the facility is brand new.
Of course, you know what? I'd rather go to SAP Center where it doesn't take me 20 minutes to take a leak.
True, true. And you know what? I just... That's our home rink, and we've had people come on, people just going on national TV or whatever and saying this is the second loudest building to Montreal,
and this is
Canadians.
I was going to say, and I've seen people that have said the SAP is the loudest barn. And that, you know, and it's a smaller place, and the way that it's constructed, that it's all good. We've all seen what the Seattle football team has done, the way they constructed their building to accentuate the fan noise. But no, I don't think anybody can say anything bad about the new Rogers Place in Edmonton.
That place is gorgeous.
When you see it on TV, it looks brand spanking new, and it looks phenomenal. It looks gorgeous. Was I a little jealous when I saw the first pictures of it? Absolutely. It looks gorgeous. I mean, just the way the seats are colored, so it has the logo as part of the seats. I mean, a lot of thought went into that. But granted, you know, there was a lot of technology that didn't exist 30 years ago when the tank was, you know, when they were, like, putting plans together and all that. If they, you know, built San Jose's arena today, would it be a scotch bigger? A scotch? Yes. It would be a scotch bigger. Probably maybe a little more Staple-esque, maybe a little bit like Rogers, and have a lot more technology going on and, you know, all the bells and whistles. But we're talking about a building that's almost 30 years old and call it 25 because, you know, plans started before that. But say a 25-year-old building. And you know what? Looks damn good for her age.
She does.
And considering you had to finagle a hockey built arena in what was originally supposed to be a basketball arena, you know, it's done very, very well. But you know what? Rogers Place, I've seen pictures.
Everything, it's gorgeous.
It's not. It really is. you know, call me whatever, call me teal tinted, but it's kind of sterile.
I'll call you a guy who doesn't know how to do laundry is what I'll call you.
Okay, so I would know I would know a thing about being dirty, I guess. But no, I thought I've seen the pictures too, and I just feel like it's a little lacks character. You know, it's not, it doesn't have the little niches and stuff. And that's what I think the older buildings have on the newer buildings is just.
I think that comes with just being around for a little bit, because I mean, you can sit there and go, well, yeah, the older buildings had character and there were things in there and blah, blah, blah. You know what? You can try to sell me all day long that the Cow Palace has character, and I will laugh in your fucking face.
Yeah. Oh no. Well,
no, I mean, we're not going to get in, let's not get into.
Yeah. A whole, yeah. Building debate, but yeah, it's just,
we don't need to jump into that. So.
When you look at just the bottom line is the arena that the Sharks play in currently is like what, third, fourth old. I mean, obviously the Madison Square Garden has had upgrades done recently, but it's
Anaheim now.
Yeah, so like
for the third oldest building in the league.
Yeah, the Sharks is one of, bizarrely enough, the Sharks building is one of the oldest in the league, yet when you step into it, it doesn't feel old at all, at least to me. Doesn't feel outdated by any stretch. The only reason why you could say that maybe it's that it might feel a little outdated is that it doesn't have a ridiculous amount of corporate suites, and I appreciate that. Yeah. So, but then again, we are getting the Chairman's Lounge next season. But anyway, yeah. Moving on.
Let's go around the league, because we had a lot of handshaking tonight.
Oh, thank you, New York. I love you, New York.
And we'll start there. New York, thanks to Mika Zibanejad. Of course, I get that one right, but I can never say Jula right. Genix, if you're watching, there you go. Mika Zibanejad with the game winner in overtime. Gives New York a 3-2 win in the game and a 3-2 lead in the series. Moving onward, Pittsburgh finishes off Columbus, and what a heck of a run for Columbus. They lose in game 5, 5-2. Pittsburgh wins that series 4-1. They now await the winner of Toronto and Washington, and call it the sweep that no one saw coming.
So apparently all those Pornhub tabs finally did me in, because my computer just had a kernel panic.
I came out of nowhere.
I'm back.
Okay, let's hope we stay on. Meanwhile, Nashville finishes off Chicago in probably one of the biggest upsets recently. As Nashville beats Chicago 4-1, they sweep the Hawks. The top seed in the West is out. So at the moment, you have the Rangers leading their series 3-2. Ottawa can finish off the Bruins tomorrow night. Washington and Toronto will play Game 5 at 4 p.m. on NBCSN tomorrow. Pittsburgh and Columbus. Pittsburgh wins that series 4-1. They await the winner of Washington-Toronto. Nashville advances, sweeping the Hawks. They will await the winner of Minnesota-St. Louis, which that series is continues on Saturday at noon on NBC.
May I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
Calgary Flames. I feel for you guys, man. I thought Brian Elliott had a horrible first start of the season. Chad Johnson came in, tried to help you out. But then Brian Elliott found his way, especially in the last 6 weeks of the season. And I look forward, especially after you had a game in the final week of the regular season where you had 96 penalty minutes versus the Anaheim Ducks. I looked forward to you taking out the Quacks And you had every opportunity, man. You had every opportunity. Every single one of those games you were in, man. Only lost by 3-2 game one. 3-2 game three. 5-4. You were in every one.
And blew a 4-1 lead.
And blew a 4-1 lead. This is not Brian Elliott's fault, man. Just, what was the defense, man? Fuck Hamiltons. You need to get rid of your Hamiltons and get some Benjamins or some shit. You got the wrong currency on that back end. That's all I'm saying. I feel you, Calgary, and big ups to
my boy Blue.
That's right, and big ups to your fans, man, because your fans stuck around until the bitter fucking end. All of them rocking the red sweater, man. Calgary, I was with you, man. I was with you.
Christina, chat. Can I hire AJ for my eulogy?
Absolutely.
AO 12345.
Salute you, Flames.
Is AJ still from IBU?
Nope, I am okay.
No, he's totally okay. Since we're talking about it, please tell us about the viewing party tonight. How did that go?
So when I got there, holy crap, did I not realize how popular this place is. It was very full. But there were a few Sharks fans there early. And then as the game went on, or I shouldn't say as the game went on, as the evening progressed before the even the pregame started, we started to see a seismic shift. We started to see the regular people leave and the hockey people start to show up, started to see people showing up in Shark swag. Unfortunately, there were only a handful of people, at least that I know of, that were Teal Town USA folk, but every one of them that came up and introduced themselves all got a prize. So that was cool. Nevis got his Stanley Cup final big sign that he was looking forward to. And nice. Christine, what's her handle? I think it's like C Pearl
17.
Yeah, she was there tonight, and she what did she get? She got a Burns grill. She got a Burns grill and
the nail polish, right?
And the nail polish. And I think her buddy got something. Oh, I can't remember. I handed out a lot of stuff tonight. And then there was a couple people who came. That one particular guy, I believe he already mentioned something in the chat. W. Wonka came in. That's all he even knows us from. Doesn't know us from Twitter or Facebook or anything. It's just straight from YouTube. He came up, said hi. He got prizes. And so just all around fun night. Hopefully we'll do it again. It would be nice to do it this playoffs. But hopefully we'll do it again, have some more stuff to give away. But it was a lot of fun. But the best part, the absolute best part of this evening when it comes to IBU Taproom is the fact that Mike, I believe, called earlier in the day and asked about getting game audio. You know, having them turn the TVs up when the game was on. And they said, no, we don't do that. And there were other people that had commented, like on Yelp or whatever, and said, I really love this tap room. The only thing that bums me out is that when during big games or during games in general, they don't put on the audio. Tonight, after when the Sharks game started tonight, they didn't have audio. They just had like background music. And when Edmonton scored their first goal, everybody was kind of, you know, blah, blah, blah. And of course they continued the music. When the Sharks scored their first goal to tie it up, the place went fucking bonkers, and it took them about 30 seconds, and they put on the game audio. And nice. And it stayed on throughout the rest of the game. So I'm not going to say that I predicted, but it's just kind of like, you got a room full of people watching the game. Turn the goddamn game, you know, put the audio on. Come on. So anyway, other than that, yeah, really fun night.
Yeah, it sounded like a great night. I feel for them because I had a feeling that this game was going to go into overtime, and I knew they closed at 10 o'clock. I was like, oh boy, if this goes into overtime or multiple overtimes, shit. Or
an eight. AO on the chat wondering who won the Chum jersey. No one did tonight. I still have a couple big prizes that ended up getting held onto because nobody could answer the question. So we'll hang on to those for the next one. Or we might do it here for when we do the postseason eulogy.
Ian says, what is this, North Korea? Game audio must be always. So with that, let's set up Saturday night. Let's head towards
I don't want to go out on a limb and say this is a must-win game.
But it's a must-win.
And yeah, it's a must-win
game.
Yeah, kind of sort of.
What do they need to bring? Landy, I'll start with you.
Poor Laurel. The Puck guy is a low talker, and I'm a loud talker. It's okay.
Yeah, I think the Sharks need to get that lead early. They really, really have to play just throttle up and their style of game, because if they go to a track meet again, they're losing the game.
AJ?
Yep. yeah, it's just I don't know, I mean control possession, maybe it was a case of, I mean, was getting last change that big of a deal? I don't know, but I mean, you got to control the neutral zone better. You have to control possession better, obviously. Support Jones better. I mean, one of those goals that you saw tonight, like, it was literally, I think it was the first goal. He just snuck by Braun. Like, I don't know where Braun's head was at on that goal, for that first goal. So it's, you know, head on a swivel, you know, play that, that cliche as hard as possible. But, clearly, it feels like you never know what you're going to get with the officials. I mean, we had a game where it was the Sharks get 6 power play chances. The next one, they get 6 power play chances. The next one, they get like 2 power play chances. Then they get 8 power play chances. Tonight, they get 1 power play chance. So who knows what you're going to get. But, I mean, you just have to make the most out of the opportunity and, you know, find your life. Empty the tank, man. Because if you don't do it on Saturday, you got all summer to think about it.
Yep. No, I completely agree. With this, you have to go all out. You'll have no tomorrow. And personally, all of a sudden, I love, you know, I hear Edmonton's wonderful this time of year. So here's what I want. If you're going to the game, I want you in your teal. I want you in all your Sharks gear. I don't care if it's teal underwear or freaking teal socks or teal shoes. We all know that me and Rocket both have the most teal in the area, so you could try to catch up with us.
Do you see the wall behind me?
Yeah, that and Vine. I have a special cup that comes out for elimination games. So thine cup.
I just like you talking about, I have the most teal, and I'm like, do you see the wall behind me?
I'm talking about wardrobe, you ignorant sluts.
Hey now. The thing I dig about this, though, is it's a Saturday game. Now, the Giants are out of town. So we had a question on the chat. I'm sorry I didn't see who said it, but I caught the actual question. Who opens the door on Saturday? They'd be dumb as fuck to not go back to Jerry Rice, get him to do it again. Or, I mean, hell, get John Taylor,
Montana,
Montana. Didn't he do it? Did he do it? No, he didn't do it last season. Did he? Was it Dwight Clark? No, Dwight Clark didn't do it either. Okay. So get Dwight Clark, get John Taylor. Jeez, I'm trying to think of like another. No, fuck Terrell Owens. Do not get Terrell Owens, because if you have Terrell Owens do it, for some reason, like the building will like blow up somewhere between the middle of the second period. But John Taylor, Dwight Clark, I'd be fine with that. Or Ronnie Lott did last year. So anyway.
All right. So Steve I saw Young. In the chat, Steve Young would be good. I saw in the chat. So here it goes. So everybody get in here. Everyone get in here. Look into each other's eyes. Or, well, I guess into your icons now. Look into each other's eyes. I want one more day with you. It's been the most fun, the best team I've ever been on. No matter what happens, we must not give in. We owe it to each other to play for each other. I need one more day with you guys. I want to see what Rocket's going to wear to the game on Saturday. I want Burns to, if it's going to be Starfish defense, make sure it works well. I want to play in front of Martin Jones because he saved your freaking ass tonight. This game could have been over earlier, and thank God for 5 goalposts tonight, too, for that matter. Play for each other, not yourself. Win each moment, win each and every period. It's all we have left.
I think what Puck Guy is trying to say is, was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Just go and win the game.
Yes, breaking news, Ray Rattle will open the door.
So, why? Is somebody going to tell him there's donuts on the other side of it?
Donuts?
This just in. Oh, brother. Oh, all right, with that, let's get out of here.
No, honestly, like let's take like odds on this, or like throw a bet or something. Like, who do you think would open the door on Saturday?
I don't really care.
But it's fun.
No, it's
Steve
not.
Young. I say Steve Young.
Or Steve okay. Young.
All right.
I think that's a great call. I would love for Steve Young to do it.
Draymond.
Oh shit! I don't know what the. Wouldn't the Warriors be in Portland?
Oh, they're in Portland? Okay.
I'm going to go with so Puck Guy has drafted Steve Young on this one.
Dan Boyle.
Yeah.
You know, that's not fucking bad. That's pretty good too. And you know what? He took Steve Young, so yeah, I'll take Montana.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here. I have work in 3.5 hours.
Hold on.
Got a headache.
But really quickly, Ian Reed saying Drew Remenda should open the door, and that would be spectacular. You know what? You talk about Steve Young, Joe Montana, Draymond. I guarantee you, Drew fucking Remenda would get the biggest fucking reaction from the crowd. That's just saying. Mike Jones saying Japan bombed, not Germany. Dude.
It's Animal House. Can you
rent Animal House and watch that for a minute and then get back to us?
Well, he's probably only 12 years old, so you know.
Oh, hey now.
So, with that, a huge weekend of hockey. Friday, the Barracudas start their playoff game. I'll be there. Come and say hi. We may have a tweet up. Saturday night, of course, game 6. Sunday night, game 2 for the Barracuda against the freaking Stockton Heat. Hopefully Monday you'll have game 7 for the Sharks and Oilers. So nonetheless, stay on this channel, subscribe down below, hit up tealtownusa.com. I believe there's going to be a Teal Tinted Glasses Barracuda After Dark show tomorrow.
So go watch those fuckers.
So,
damn.
Wow. And until tomorrow night when we watch the Barracuda kick Stockton's butt, and Saturday night when we hope we have more hockey to watch.
Hey, now.
Keep it real. Keep it teal. Good night. Shut up, lady.